And you guys supposed to link in the Discord.
I sure will. As soon as I get away. This is why we love XSplit.
XSplit.
Okay, got the link. Hold on. I'm ready.
No. Oh, every episode.
Alright. Who would ever help with the Dolph Lundgren?
I dropped it. The guy's
getting
in
the chat. In the what?
General chat.
Is that right?
I think so.
No, that's the wrong spot.
No, it's okay.
On the title page? Cracking me up, dude. Sorry, buddy. I can get it. If you want.
No, I got it already.
You got it?
It's on the right channel.
Okay. I don't know what I'm doing. Do you?
Yeah, evidently.
I mean, we're almost to the squeaky chair.
I'm closing out of the browser. Alright, 3, 2, 1. And my show notes are all messed up. That sucks. 3, 2, 1. Live from the 6th subfloor basement of the Guys Games and Beer Towers. We keep getting older and we keep getting grayer, but we're not getting any smarter. It's Guys Games and Beer.
Yay!
What, Tyler? Hey. Nothing out of you?
Not even. Yeah, really, Tyler. Not even.
He's losing.
Wow.
I said hooray.
Oh, here
you. You know,
huzzah!
Huzzah!
We're like three staff members low today, so you know, gotta up that gate, up that way up there.
Yeah.
Thank
bring,
you.
Bring
I
up,
appreciate
Tyler. Bring
it
up, Tyler. Okay.
You know what I should do? I should put the camera on the screen that we're looking at. The second camera.
Oh, somebody can see up our faces as well.
And then. Ben, there
you
go.
There you go. All right, wait. Camera change.
Oh, God, this is terrible. It's really bad.
It is really bad.
It's really bad. Let's
do it.
Here we go.
Anyways, do it.
Here. Ah, cam 2. Oh, I love
what the hell is that?
It's swinging because I just touched it.
All
right. Yeah, cam 2.
Yeah, floor people.
Oh,
all right. Hey, Rob. Because I only have one beer open, and one beer is never enough, we should probably start with something else tonight.
All right, I suppose that is a segue, not the scooter, but the other type of segue.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba!
Ba-da-ba-ba! Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba! Ba-da-da!
Beer court.
Hey, we
got the chat open.
All right, chat's open.
Yeah, what do you know? It's working today. Because X-Split, sometimes it works.
All right, what do we got tonight, Larry?
This is an amber ale, 5.6%, 25 international bitter units.
So it's not very bitter. Okay,
no,
so.
Not very bitter.
These are our buddies out of Milwaukee City Lights. I have not been to their brewery yet.
I haven't either.
Is it an open brewery that you can actually check out? I don't know. They produce some good beers. We've had a couple on their show before.
Yeah, but is this one of them? That's the question.
No, it is not. So go ahead and read the description.
5.6, isn't that a little low for an amber?
Sorry.
No, it's not. No, that's wheelhouse.
All right,
well, it should be seven.
All right, so we have a blend of German tradition hops and American, what is it, Wilmette hops? And that's just enough hot bitterness, flavor, and aroma to keep your nose and taste buds wanting more.
What? Are you sure you want? I don't know. Keep going.
All right. Five different malts give the beer a hint of caramel sweetness, a splash of breadiness, and just the right amount of character.
All right, let's find out if
that's a great description.
It's not a bad description.
Yeah,
let's just see if the breadiness. Okay, that is the first time. Okay,
there's no citrus notes.
That is the first time I've heard a beer described with the term breadiness.
Yeah, I like that.
You can smell the caramel.
Just a right touch of rat's ass.
I was gonna say
the crust.
Yeah, there are times you don't want to taste breadiness. Trust me. Rob got it.
It took me 1 second.
Rob got it.
And then it sunk in.
I get what's working here.
Don't worry about the caramely.
Yeah,
it's a very caramely beer, actually.
I'm not offended.
If you
caramely or just the caramel taste.
I mean, it's a sweet. Because it's got a lot of malt.
It's got a lot of malt, man.
It's a sweet. If I was going to throw it near something, I would probably go like a Smittix or maybe a River West or something along that.
It's even sweeter.
It is sweeter.
Yeah. Are you catching bitter on it?
I'm the back end. It's got a little bit of hoppiness to it, but not that much.
They did say you were gonna want more.
I don't know if I want more. It's awfully sweet.
Didn't say more what?
No, they said want more hoppiness.
Okay, that might have cut the sweetness a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a great advertisement. It'll leave you wanting more of something we don't have in it.
It's really sweet. I will say that.
It is sweet.
One of the sweeter beers I've had. Yeah. Besides flavored beers, which don't count.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Toasted marshmallow doesn't count.
Right, right. The moon pie beer made with real moon pie doesn't count.
That doesn't even really count as beer.
I didn't think so, but no, it really wasn't bad, Rob.
It
tasted like fucking moon pie.
It did get a thumbs up.
No off notes.
No off notes. Okay. It's a solid amber there. It is an amber ale right down the nose.
Yeah.
The only thing is it's a little sweeter than most amber ales, I think, that people are used to.
Yeah. So.
It's a little sweeter.
Where are you sitting on the party cooler?
I'm grabbing out of the party cooler.
Yeah, why not?
I would too.
It
would have a hard time.
Oh yeah, no. Okay.
In fact, I might be a little disappointed that the first time we go to a party cooler, there's one in there, and then the next time I go look for one, and they're all gone.
Okay. All right. That's okay. You know, and because it's a fire. Because
you know that's happened to you when you've gone to the party cooler
and
you've been drinking something all night, and there's like none left, and it's just like. Alright, I guess I'll drink the point.
Okay, that's a Wisconsin joke, kids. Alright, so, you already get it to pop?
That's so true, though. Where's that Miller?
Gotta go down now. Yes, I would order this, yes.
Yeah, I'm ordering it at the pub. Rob?
Yes, if we were in a lovely paneled pub. It has to be a paneled pub.
Yeah. Oh, so
you're talking Toad Hall.
It can't be a club. Yeah.
Toad Hall.
It can't be a club. I don't like clubs anyway.
Yeah.
How about, speaking of Toad, they offer that the marshmallow,
the
s'mores thing.
Yeah.
I'll pair it with this.
Okay. That's not a bad combination.
Oh, good pairing.
Damn. All right. Well, let's see if Corey has this, and if so, we'll order the tableside s'more thing with it. All right. Let's do this, guys.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, all right. Hey, City Lights. Nice job, guys. It is a solid amber ale out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a 5.6, so you can drink it without getting too hammered. Touch sweet for my taste, but not overly sweet. All right. Judge Rob, pass verdict on City Lights Amber Ale out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
On the charge of short hopping, I find you guilty. And sent you to
drinking!
There you go.
Okay, now that we got all that crap out of the way, Rob, why are we really here this evening?
Well, we're really here because we don't have a light. Okay. But with us we've got Dakota, and he's from Sunset Arctic Games, and he has a new game coming out called Echo Blade that you've played it. Right?
I played it.
I played it. Have you tried it yet?
I have watched the videos. I haven't
you
had
watched
a chance
the videos.
To play it.
And I've got, I got a video plugged into the thing, so we can probably.
Oh, good, because I do want people to see. I want people to see a little bit about this. So, Dakota, introduce yourself again to everybody in the audience.
I'm Dakota DeMade. I'm the founder of Sunset Arctic Games. I'm just a solo developer, just trying to make a dream come true, basically. I'm just trying to make indie games. So, I'm really excited you guys found Echo Blade, and I hope you guys enjoyed it so far. It's definitely an experimental, project that I've really enjoyed working on.
We'll get into that again. You definitely are succeeding at coming up with some, good indie gaming. We love our indie gaming, and this one hits all the right notes.
So, elevator description of Echo Blade.
So this is a puzzle combat dungeon explorer where you take the place as a blind knight that is trying to escape this dungeon only using echolocation and a sword, basically. So you're stopped by these traps, obstacles, and other guards that are, you know, trying to kill you for trying to escape. And since you're blind, you're kind of limited as to really what you can see in the environment. So that presents kind of a very unique challenge to the player.
Watched Daredevil lately, huh?
No, I actually haven't seen it.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. When I started playing, oh my god, this is, it's like to be Daredevil.
Holy crap! With a sword.
Yes, thank you. It's Daredevil with a sword. I was good with this though, Rob. It worked for me. So I have to ask, where did you get the idea for this game? Because we play a lot of games. I mean, we play a lot of games. This is a unique idea.
Yeah, so during what I've learned about myself in game design and game developing is that my weakest point is creating a very realistic environment with lighting. And so I decided, what if I can make an environment with just no lighting whatsoever? just avoid all my weaknesses and just focus on my strengths. And then I kind of thought, how would you sort of navigate through this area? And then I remembered there's this... one episode of Stan Lee's Superhumans that came out 9 years ago. It's about this guy who could use echolocation while riding a bicycle around his neighborhood and other streets. And that show, that guy has lived rent-free in my head for 9 years.
Okay, the worst part is I remember that episode. It's amazing.
Yes!
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's funny that you bring that up because after checking out the game, I immediately wanted to know your source, if you had any idea that there are people that actually have learned to echolocate, which is really interesting.
So, yeah, evidently now, yes, he did!
Yeah, it's been really interesting to kind of research that, so I kind of wanted to bring that to life and kind of see how we could try to imagine that as, you know, as people that can see, so. Yeah, it's been fun developing this.
On screen right now is the game, and is this the one where I do something really freaking silly?
alright.
What if I do some really silly stuff on?
So, again, that's the concept. How long has this game been in development so far?
I started in about September 2020, I believe.
Okay.
So, just a little over a year, about 18 months.
Alright, that's not too bad. What engine are you using on this?
Unreal Engine 4.
Alright. So, for those of you who can see the screen right now, I know a lot of you are listening, don't worry about, speaking over.
You can go visit their website.
You can go visit their website.
Just because I've never developed a game like this, with all the art and all that, are those kind of, those sprites and things, are they, are available plugins, or do you have to?
But before you answer that question, to show you how old Larry is,
he just said sprites.
He said
sprites.
He said sprites.
Although your last game didn't have sprites in it.
That's what happens when you're an old game developer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a conceptual idea, right?
Okay.
You have a thing that is moving on the screen, and it's kind of an art, you know? So, did you do the art, any of the art yourself, or did you?
My first game it's called Voltic Pistol. I released that in March 2020. I spent about 5 years part-time through college and through my full-time job kind of working on that. I made all the art. I did all the sprites. I did pretty much all the code there and everything you can think of except for promotional art. And it took it took almost 5 years because it was so much time. And so when I went to Unreal Engine 4, there's, an Unreal Engine marketplace where you can buy these assets. And I decided that I can make development much quicker if I can just buy these assets. Basically take away all the textures but leave the normal maps, so you can't really tell that, if you look for this on the Unreal Engine marketplace, you're not going to find it so easily because it doesn't look like what you bought it from, because it has color to it, and now it's just a shader of a certain color, so you can't really tell that I kind of bought these assets, if you know what I mean.
you make them your own.
You
set the coloring, you set the textures, you do things like that. The assets are just the outlines, basically. You're filling them all in.
I'm mad at that guy.
What?
Rob's just gameplay, sorry.
Yeah, Rob just killed
us. We got gameplay, I got distracted. There was a thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, that makes sense to me, you know, that, you know, you need some resources.
Well, here's the thing, if you're a studio of one, like you said, the problem is, if you have to do all the artwork, okay, and that's to bring the question, voice work, did you do the voice work yourself, or did you farm that out too?
I would say about 50-50, maybe a bit less on my side. So I did most of the NPCs, just kind of putting on like a terrible British accent, because it's just fun. And then the enemies themselves, I bought some generic English voice actor sound pack, and they're always just like, "Silence, so I'm gonna kill you," basically. So that worked out well. And then I got my friend that I met through iRacing, he's doing the Lionheart Racing series. He's actually a professional voice actor, and he absolutely nails the Scottish accent that you're going to see in the game. And it's great. I love it.
You know, and that is the beauty, again, of the developer community nowadays, is you can find good voice actors. I mean, you have the advantage of actually knowing the people, but there's a bunch of people out there who can record clips for you, and you can, you know, get their packs available for games. So, again, that just speeds up your development time, especially if you're a smaller team or a single-man team.
So when the voices you did you try to vary them? Like, are you various characters?
Yeah, pretty much. There's about three or four that I kind of do.
What he does. Okay,
so there's one that I just, like, put on this interesting voice. It's like, "Oh, you're trying to escape here with me." And
I try to use
different, you know, different effects in Audacity to kind of try and mask, you know, make it sound, you know, real and not, you know, cringy me.
I actually like some of the cringiness of the AI.
So I understand that.
One more time, Tyler.
Yep.
Oh, I got that because I'm really bad at doing voices and accents, like really bad. My wife's actually pretty good at it, but like I feel that.
So I'm going to admit something. I accidentally, and I'm not kidding, accidentally killed every NPC I met on my first playthroughs. I just...
You're standing there to kill you!
There's a part...
You know you were supposed to talk to that guy, not kill him.
There's a part where there's a guy trapped... He's trapped in a cell. And he's, you know, asking for help. And I just jumped over a thing. I saw something. Thwack!
As he's just dying breathless. Why?
Yeah, yeah, they do. They complain about it.
That's why I tried to give them different colors so that people wouldn't kill them right away. Because the enemies are red and the NPCs are blue, so I figured, he's a good guy. But I made it so you can kill him anyway.
You're assuming that some people have intelligence.
Yes. I saw something moving.
Why can't the NPCs be purple? I think that would be nice.
Aww.
Be nice.
Yeah.
You can probably adjust your color.
Yeah, you can adjust your color. It's not that.
So I have this friend that... Any game, whether it's Dark Souls or Fallout or anything, he wants to just kill every NPC. like some type of psychopath. So I literally named the first NPC after him. And the first thing he does is he kills him right away. So I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. You just killed yourself, bud.
They weren't even on purpose. It was like the worst comedy of it. I am not kidding. Everyone dead.
I'm here to give you a special.
Hey, we're here to escape together.
Okay, so wow.
Yeah.
This is why we don't play games with these guys. All right, so getting to the game itself. So Rob's had the gameplay going for a little bit here, and so this is actually a lot more lit up than when I play the game. It is.
I do a lot of right clicking.
Right
to the point where I'll generally try to fight them in better,
smaller areas.
Yeah,
so
smaller.
So if you're in a large area in this game and you're using echolocation, it's dark. The game has a very dark feel to it. Good. Was that now? That's I assume intentional. That kind of claustrophobic. Oh crap! I'm in this big dark area. I can't see. I mean, I can't even see the walls at this point because you're using echolocation.
Right click.
Yeah.
No. Even if you right click, if you're in a big room, it doesn't help.
Shoot an arrow.
Go ahead, Dakota.
So I haven't played it. So right click is how you echo.
You make a noise.
You can also shoot an arrow if you got something in the
You know, like, I mean, if you use echolocation, or, you know, like the people that would use echolocation, not us, but they would, you know, usually click their tongue, you know, kind of like that. This kind of imitates that, but like with your sword, it kind of makes a clinging metal noise. So I kind of figured that would be much less annoying than hearing like clicking every twice, every 2 seconds.
Good call. Good call.
So this kind of gives you like a quick, you know, a very quick guide of like what's around you. And, so yeah, these areas, these really big areas, I tried to kind of limit those because I kind of got some like negative feedback about how they were kind of too big. So I kind of tried to bring some of them up later on. But yeah, I like these big areas because it kind of, you don't know where you're going. You know, that's kind of the whole point of the game, is to just, you're not sure where you're going. You have to use sound. And one of the interesting mechanics I have to make sure you don't get lost in these big areas is these footprints. You'll see these footprints. So I like to think of like a lore kind of way that your character has like a photogenic memory, and that he can remember like where he's been. So once you see these footprints on the ground, you know, hey, I've been here. I shouldn't backtrack, or maybe I do need to backtrack, or something like that.
Yeah, I thought that was a great touch, actually. Again, otherwise I can see the game getting a little. People get lost like that, and you'd get lost in the game. Being able to retrace your steps, or knowing where you've already been down that hallway, why go down it again? There was nothing down there. That's a nice way to mark that off.
It also helps you get an idea of space. So, like, there's a part where there's you start the game, walk into a rather large room that has like a drop off.
Then
you come back later, and you can actually see it from the other side. You can see your footprints on the other side, and it's useful for. This is where I am in this dungeon.
Yeah, so that was a really nice touch, actually. I really, really like that part of it. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the puzzles in the game.
Yeah, I kind of like to think of the game as like just one giant puzzle, just kind of trying to navigate your way through sounds. And then I tried to kind of get some sound-oriented puzzles in there, but they're kind of a little difficult to pull off. There is one section where you kind of hear this chiming noise through a hallway, and then later in the level, you're going to have to recreate that chiming noise to be able to open a locked gate.
That's the bum bum bum.
Yes.
That was really. Yep. I can't
give it away, man.
Yeah, you didn't have to give it away. Wait a minute. Spoiler alert.
It's in there.
Too late. Okay. No. But that was a really good way to. Like you said, it's hard to do puzzles with an audio, So that really worked out very well.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can kind of get more of those added in the game before I release it here soon. Some other puzzles where you have this box that you're just kind of carrying around that you can stack up to kind of get over ledges. And later on, there's going to be a level where you kind of have to carry that box through like an entire dungeon sequence. So you're kind of carrying it, and then guards will come out and try to attack you, and you're going to have to quickly let go of the box and switch to your sword. And I try to attack, and then just have to keep lugging around this box. So,
and I'm still watching gameplay.
Yeah, Rob's just sitting there watching the game.
Well, I thought I was going to do the majority of the talking, but you guys were like right on point.
The game was
50-50 with these guys, to be honest.
I mean, all right. Well,
I feel like as a sound puzzle, there should be like some kind of safe there.
And that's a little hard to do with echolocation.
But it's sound, right?
It's
not that what you see, it's what you hear.
This puzzle
and you hear the right thing.
This puzzle took me 48 hours to finish. People are so brutal.
Okay, so that being said, because this isn't pre-release and people are...
I played this game 10,000 hours.
Okay,
it sucks.
I'm going to take issue right away with the people who complained about the rooms being too large. I like that claustrophobic, oh crap, I don't know where I am. You did the footprint thing. Look, if you look back, you know where you were. I had no problem with that part of the
game. It's not a humongous part of the game either.
No, it's not. I didn't see that as a problem. So... What other things come into play as far as that goes? What any feedback you want, you know, that you've besides that you're taking to heart?
I got this one feedback after the Steam Next Fest demo that I did like 9 months ago or whatever. I immediately went to YouTube and looked up anyone that like did any streaming of my game, and I found like 4 videos. And This one kid or something, he sounded like he was around 12 or whatever, but he complained the game was too dark.
You're blind! Did he not realize you're blind, okay?
That's the point of the game, so, I...
Being blind is very uncomfortable.
Wow, okay, yeah, wow.
What's funny is, though, is there's a brightness slider in the game, so you can kind of calibrate, you know, brightness to your monitor, but at the same time, it also acts like a difficulty scale, because you can actually turn the brightness down and make the game harder to see, like even harder than it already is, and you can also turn it all the way up for basically just kind of an easier mode.
Interesting, because I was actually going to ask if there's any like way to change the difficulty level in the game. That's actually really clever. I like that.
Yeah, it was actually unintentional, but it just kind of came up that way. So
I was
like, hey, you know what? This
it makes total sense, because there's been a lot of dark games that have like darker atmospheres that I've played where doing that does help. So it's like, but I wouldn't have thought of that like at developing a game.
Tyler's the guy who plays Call of Duty with the brightness cranked. He's like, "Let's see you!"
So given that idea, are you actually gonna? Would you build in, or maybe it's already there? Like, you know, like sometimes when you get to some games, I remember like you'll calibrate it to your monitor or whatever,
right?
And like, fade this until you can barely see the outline of this image, and then that's the right way to play this. So, like, that would be normal.
Yeah, I would do that.
You know? And then, you know, I don't know if you're...
Try-hard level is you brighten it up so you can see everything. That's try-hard.
So, I'm just saying, is it...
Do you want to be try-hard at this? Is that
what
you're
saying? Yeah. So, I was just... Are you going to build that in now that you know that that is a way to create your difficulty level?
If you want to go into the settings and kind of try that. I might present it as like a brightness / difficulty, like literally label it as like difficulty slider. So that would be a nice touch.
It could always even just be like on a screen, like a little tip at the bottom or something, like, hey, is it too difficult?
Pro tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice, that a pro tip, guys.
You know, it's like, hey, you want to try an easier, brighter mode?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a wuss?
My God, you've died 400 times.
Yeah, turn the brightness up!
Serious Sam does that. You've died like 18 times in this. You want to lighten it? No, I've got muscle control. I'm going to get this!
Before the show, we were talking a little bit. So, as I said, I kind of like the darkness. I like this whole claustrophobic thing. The game's got almost a VR feel to it. So we do a lot of VR gaming in our group as well. And it's almost got a VR feel to it. That we can kind of compare it a little bit to Dread Hall. So because you just don't know where the enemies are going to pop up on you. And that...
Also the cover of Temple of Apshai.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's another good one to compare it to.
That in G2B.
So, oh, good, yeah.
This is maybe a general question. So if you developed a game and you think, this might be good in VR. What would it take to push it to VR?
Well, I'll let him answer that, because he's using the Unity engine, which actually lends itself to that.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to experiment with after kind of finishing this. It's kind of into a VR port. I think it'd be really interesting. I didn't start with VR because it still has a lower market. You know, at the moment, I just kind of want to get this proof of concept going of this, you know.
Only hardcore nerds.
Yeah, I got a VR headset too, so I'm right there with you.
I might freak out playing VR.
See, yeah, so the game, again, the nice thing is like, but again, because you're using Unity to do the development, it doesn't take a whole lot to port it over afterwards. It's just, controller issues. So that makes life a lot easier.
One thing I do want to talk about is one of the parts that's not finished in the demo.
Okay, because I'm only playing the demo version, and Rob's played the other version.
I played the beta, right. And there's a leveling system. What have you got planned for that leveling system? Because it'll tell you that you're leveling, and it's like, oh, and I hit my, I hit it, there's no leveling there yet. But what are the plans for that one?
It's kind of an RPG light. I wouldn't say it's a full RPG. It's kind of your generic, you can increase your attack strength or your amount of stamina or how fast you regenerate stamina or health. There's also increased resistance to the toxic fumes and the lava that you soon encounter.
I have not encountered lava yet.
Just very simple perks that kind of just increase your strength. And, of course, you'll get to tougher enemies, so that'll come in handy there.
Wait. So let's say you do it normal, okay? You got this normal thing. But you level up so your Sonic goes just a little further.
So your what?
Your echolocation goes just a little further. Like, Just a little bit.
Mike only has Serral ideas.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Yeah, just.
What if you had a pack of hot dogs and you just whipped them down the hallway?
No, I'm just throwing ideas. But
he's just throwing out ideas.
You know, we're just
we're spitballing. We're spitballing.
Yeah, we could just add some. We can add some skins.
Hey. Credits now, right,
wait,
guys?
Wait, what?
This episode is brought to you by XSplit. XSplit. Sometimes it works. Most of the time, though.
No, most of the time it doesn't work. That's the problem with damn XSplit.
See, and that's exactly why I'm going to OBS.
All right. Okay.
It's free.
It's free, and it works. For the love of God, we pay for XSplit. At least if you're going to make us pay for your product, make the damn thing work. Hey, so.
We're going to snap. I got it off of G2A for $5. It's not even worth that.
No. Oh. Dakota got a kick out of that, because you know, Dakota, your game's going to show up on that.
I try to... I'm very selective about who I give keys to, so...
Good call, because...
Yeah, I get two emails a week just from people like, hey, can I have a key to your game that's like $2 on Steam?
Thank you! It's not like it's expensive! Buy the damn key, people!
Like, it's on sale right now for $2, and you have the nerve to ask me for a free key.
Speaking of which, Dakota, can I actually get a free key?
Tyler!
Tyler.
So, but
breaker of walls,
okay,
Tyler.
So that being said, so this is not your first game. So going through Steam, and again, this is the marketplace we live in, you know... How's your experience been?
Empty sometimes.
Oh.
I was gonna say mostly good. Seems like really easy to kind of set stuff up on. I do wish they could add a little bit of a stricter curation process, because my game that I put like a lot of effort into, you know, just kind of sometimes gets lumped into games that people don't put a lot of effort into them, and not to like knock on those people trying. Like it's I'm not gonna discourage any developers. From, you know, trying to make their games, but I mean, sometimes I wish there was a little bit of curation. You know, if there's kind of a very obvious shovelware game, maybe it should just kind of go on itch.
Into shovelware!
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that on Steam.
Yes. So.
No, that's a really good point.
Mostly for Warhammer.
We've complained about that in the past, you know. And not that we don't buy shovelware packs. For those of you who get all our free giveaways, that's our shovelware packs. Where do you think I get those keys from? No, I give away good games once in a while. But there's a lot of shovelware in there, kids.
Yeah, two blocks fighting is not one of the high moments.
No, exactly. Yeah.
But Block Theater is.
But, so, but you have no control over that at all with Steam? Again, as people who have not developed games for Steam, we do not know this.
Yeah, Steam's pretty interesting. I've been talking and following this marketer, this guy who, like, he writes a guide on how to market games on Steam, and he's like literally making a job out of it. And he has a Discord that's full of like 1,200 people.
Wow.
Literally just how to market games on Steam. And it's really interesting that you gotta market yourself early. You have to kind of get people involved right away. Wishlists are super important when you release a game. So you kind of want to hit that 8,000, 10,000 wishlist mark to get on that new and trending page, which is going to, you know, exponentially get your game out there to people. And there's also a kind of a fun, I don't know if it's a fun fact, but before you reach 10 reviews on Steam, your game is like nearly invisible, basically. It just will not show up on like any algorithms. And, you know, once you hit those 10 reviews, it doesn't matter if they're negative or positive, it'll start showing up. And they have to be reviews that weren't from Steam keys. You have to actually purchase
game, reviews.
So, yeah. So my first time developing a game, I didn't really do any marketing because I just kind of wanted to, you know, just say I made a game, basically. And maybe I was a little bit scared to actually, you know, show my work off to people.
You know what? I totally understand that feeling. I made a board game that I kind of treated that way.
I like your board game, Larry. All right.
So I understand the feeling.
Yeah. So when the game came out, my first game, I think I sold maybe 10 copies the first week, which, I mean, is better than nothing, I guess. So, but yeah, it's still nearly invisible, actually. I'm at 9 reviews right now, so I just need one more Steam review to kind of get that into the algorithm.
Okay, wait a minute. G2B audience.
There you go.
What's the name of the game again?
You guys are going to help me out. It's called Voltic Pistol on Steam. It's a 2D side-scroller. It has a medieval cyberpunk mashup theme.
All right, G2B, we need one more review of that game. So if you don't have it, get the game. If you get it, make sure to do a review on it. Because we want to hit that 10 mark.
You have one.
But you want to put in almost no effort. At least put it on the wish list.
Right, there you go. That's your wish list. Okay, real quick, I got to ask. So I do like this idea that this guy's got the Discord marketing channel. That's actually... So we've been covering Steam for a long time, since the early days of Steam. We're old, guys.
I love that.
It's even funnier. We're old. When we started this, I had no idea what Steam was.
True. It's true. Larry did not know what Steam was when we started this. We've been doing this show for a long time. So that's actually a really good idea. Do you pick up? I mean, the ideas you've mentioned that the things you already talked about for our developer friends, if you haven't, where can they find this Discord channel? Because we do a lot of devs, and this is good information.
It is quite literally called How to Market a Game.
Okay, so, well, that was simple.
So howtomarketagame.com. It's this guy named Chris, and he does so much research. He does Steam page reviews, where he'll kind of literally stand in front of a green screen and have the game, like, store page behind him, and he will literally, like, nitpick everything and say, like, what's great and what isn't great.
Okay, so wait a minute. Dakota, has he nitpicked your page yet?
I did get him to review Echo Blade, actually.
Oh, nice! Finally. All right!
And, yeah, he said it was mostly good. Maybe change up a couple of the GIFs you have on the page there, but overall it's pretty good. So.
Okay, coming from somebody that big, that's really quite a compliment, dude.
quality critical eye can be so useful, you know? I had different people review my game, and it was... someone went through and told me all the different little things that I should probably adjust. And it was just, it was really useful. It was truly constructive criticism, right? You know,
right.
It was like, you know, yeah, you should do this or do that. It was really useful.
Sometimes it helps to have somebody outside the testing circle too.
Yeah. Especially when you're incestuous as a testing circle as we are.
Yeah, if you know, like, about as bad as you can get.
You may not get good results on that. So, let's go through this game. So, besides releasing it in this demo form and so on, so what's your testing process? I mean, do you have a core group of friends who, you know, sit down with you and test it out for you?
I do, yeah. I got about 6 to 8 kind of different friends that I'll give them the build to and have them check it out. And they usually provide, like, really good feedback. Sometimes it's, like, really, like, too nice feedback that I'm, like, they don't have anything negative to say. And I'm, like,
this is the greatest game ever. Yeah, be mean to me. Thank you. Yes, be mean to me.
Most of the time, they're always really good. And they're also helpful for finding out bugs and glitches that I would never seem to find. you know, one of my other friends was able to jump on top of a gate, and then he was able to phase through the ceiling outside.
Oh, that's awesome!
I was like,
you know,
one, why did you try to do this?
It doesn't matter!
Two, now you have made my life so much more difficult, because I haven't been able to recreate this.
So, not even with games, but any kind of IT work. If a user can do it,
the user will
do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have to find every hole.
Oh, I know.
They're like rats with the runs.
They really are.
I hate to say it. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
I like Tom's like, wrap it up, we're at our hour's end.
We're getting we're too long here for the listeners, so...
I did have one awesome thing happen where a knight jumped up on top of the door, one of the gate doors. And,
yeah.
And I was trying to get him.
Wait a minute. I have not read it.
He said that, well, I was being a nut.
Yeah.
I was being an angry.
It's been a difficult balance because before the AI didn't want to walk upstairs. Like, I couldn't get them to walk upstairs. And I figured out, like, oh, there's a parameter you can change how high they can step. And so I increased it a little bit, and now they just climb walls and climb walls.
That gave me great enjoyment.
So, a little bit more tweaking to do there.
Where's he going? What?
It might be okay if you could stab him up there.
Yeah,
right. I did try. There's a segment where I'm just jumping and trying to
get him.
Go and get him. Anyway. Woo! Close the post.
All right, so I'm going to wrap up a few things. First of all, where can people find your game, Dakota?
Echo Blade, you can find it on Steam if you search Echo Blade. You can also go to sunsetarcticgames.com. You can kind of check out a whole portfolio of Echo Blade and Bolted Pistol. That's about it. Just Steam for now. I'm hopefully, maybe I'll get in contact with a console publisher. I did talk to a publisher from Germany before, but talks kind of fell through, unfortunately.
Okay,
so.
Wait a minute. You may have buried the little bit there. You said you talked to a console publisher. So what consoles are we talking here?
PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox S. I'd love to bring them on there. Maybe even the Switch.
Yeah, I need Switch. Yeah.
Everything goes to Switch.
Everything goes to Switch, yeah.
All people, we love the Switch. Yeah.
Is
the thing.
I
was talking to some people at work who are generally gamers, and it's like, you got a Switch? Yeah, we got a Switch.
Oh, God!
It's the official, the absolute official console of the older 50 gamer, yeah.
Oh,
that's
ouch.
Absolutely
ouch.
True.
A screen I do not out. Own a Switch, guys. I'm well over 50, and I don't own a damn Switch.
That's
okay,
something
but
wrong
that being
you.
Said, so that's great. So kind of keep an eye out for that, people, as well. That would be a nice little market, again. The game's got a lot of pluses to it where I can see it.
Very very smooth, very fast, very fast animation.
If you didn't watch the animations, go back and watch the animations.
I'm a big fan of the mouse control on it is just dead on.
Yeah, it really is. That was
really
good.
That was one of the things that really impressed me. I really like solid mouse control. Anybody who's played like pretty much any of the remastered games that are out right now knows that
the new
crappy mouse.
Or even the new Halo. Infinity.
It's a little rough.
I know. It's meant for console gaming.
Yeah.
The mouse and keyboard controller. Not as
we have a whole episode about.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. We'll talk about that later.
The control. Failure.
So, but
anyway,
control.
It controls great.
Oh
really,
my God! Yes.
It feels very natural. I love turning on a dime and just like going after them. I've noticed that the difficulty does escalate as they go on. They're jumping. They're actually putting out an effort. I actually got killed on my second run, which I had done about 10 runs, I think, before I did the live stream of it, where I didn't die. I just, like, was able to nail it the whole way through. Unfortunately, X-split. But then on the second run, I went the other way and got my butt kicked at the end, man. Holy crap. They were things were getting harder by then. So
well,
I'm pretty
so
excited to keep going. Don't start.
All right, so You said where they can find you, because that might be coming out on the PS4 and the Xbox One and other possible platforms.
Hopefully, I can't promise that yet. But.
Well, again, I like where that's going. You know, and possibly
you can do the motion controls on the Switch, you know.
I know it would work. All right.
Yeah,
so,
you know when you're making fun and all of a sudden you're like,
sense.
Actually.
Hey.
Anyway, I want to thank you very much for coming on. You can check out, she's Echoblade. At the link down below. If you look down
below, down there, kids, down there. Just look below there.
That's the wrong camera. Down below,
this camera.
Down below, sorry, wrong camera, guys. If you look down below, there's a link both to that and Sunset Arctic Games. Again, want to thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Dakota. This, great talking to you tonight.
This is every episode. You're in there tonight. You are on. Fire.
Really? You think?
I think this was above average.
Yeah, you guys are good. Yeah, you good average. Too. But out there, you guys are good. So
this is already four beers into the show, kids. Get used to it.
Yeah. All right. So this is a product of the Guys Games and Beer Media Empire. As every episode, this is brought to you by Lionheart Racing. Lionheart Racing, all the joy of racing without the rubber hot dogs. You can check them out if you go to www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Take a look on the top right-hand corner of the screen.
Okay, so, that being said.
If you go on the top right-hand corner of the screen, you can click through and check out Lionheart Racing.
Yeah, who evidently are faster than we are posting links to. They beat us tonight. They got our link up before we got our link up.
That is not abnormal.
All right.
You got anything else to say?
If you're going to be in Manitowoc, Wisconsin this weekend, Guys Games and Beer is going to be broadcasting from the Fire and Ice Gaming Convention in beautiful Manitowoc, Wisconsin. If you haven't been to this, we covered it years ago for our first time. Absolutely loved it. They've been growing every year since then. We covered them pre-pandemic. It was our last show before the lockdown and one of our better shows. We had some great guests on. We are really looking forward to being there this weekend.
We were poolside.
We had a great show that weekend. So if you're going to be up in Manitowoc, we will be there definitely Saturday, possibly Sunday. You never know. Definitely stop by, check us out, have a beer with us. If you are going to be there and are a developer, gamer, whatever, stop by. Maybe be on the show.
Do some interviews. As we always do. All right.
As we always do.
Finally, if you just love Guys Games and Beer so much that you want to do nothing but,
who doesn't?
You can go to www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. You can join the Guys Games and Beer support group. I'm going to try and do it with a straight face though.
Okay.
Where you can see the dankest memes posted by the master of...
Okay, that makes sense. Dakota, keep a straight face.
It just broke me there.
By the meme-ologist.
Dallas, master of meme-ology. He digs deep.
Oh, so deep.
So deep. So that you don't have to. All right, I think we've survived another episode of Guys, Games, and Beer. Thank you very much for watching. We will see you next week.
Thank you again, Dakota.
Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Don't leave yet, though. Wait.
And spin it.
Okay, so, again, we'll repost this after we download it to Facebook, so it's there. We'll put it on all the podcasting places after that.
Yep, usually about 3 to 5 days. That usually does pretty well. Our interviews do pretty well on iTunes.
Yeah, so you'll see us on all that. Rob will send you all the links accordingly. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Again.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Looking forward to seeing so much more on this game. It's really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Okay, I'm sorry, Tyler. I talked over you.
No, I was saying it was a really good episode, I thought.
Yeah, again. Yeah, thank you so much.
Considering we usually just drink beer and pass out.
Yeah, well, we might do that still tonight. It's early still, okay? No, I actually...
It is still early.
Well, Wow, Larry looks disappointed. Jesus. All right. Thank you, guys. Right, everybody have a great evening.
Podcast at this point.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Take care.
All right. Oh.
Guys, Games and Beer is a product of the Guys, Games and Beer Media Empire. See you guys.